Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Karmic Path.
Tina's doing the intro because I consistently screw it up every week.
Well, it's so charming of you. Really, it is. This week's topic is Impose on Your Angels. And as we start that, I want to remind everybody that our passion, are you listening?
I got it.
Our passion is karma.
Not karma's our passion.
No, it's not that it. Everyone has a karmic path, or they're aware of it or not, even us.
Yes, especially us.
And you can't opt out of karma, as we heard someone say recently. We don't live in a bubble. Every person's actions and reactions echo out, and they often collide. Our passion is to offer you a new way of looking at life so that perhaps, now you got me screwed up here, you can improve your karmic path. Okay, now it's your turn.
All right, very good. Well, I got to start out by saying that, I don't know if you know this, but we got a really cool note from somebody who was reading one of your books, The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief, on an airplane. And she wrote in and said it struck up a great conversation. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that was
it from is cool.
Janina, who said that she was hanging out at the Denver airport earlier this week. So thanks for that. That was cool. Thank you.
We really do appreciate that. All right, we're going to talk about imposing on your angels. And we came up with this topic because I was working with a client many years ago, and I was reminding her she could always ask for angels. She said, well, you know, I don't want to impose on them.
You know, my thought is, it can never hurt to ask.
Well, it's not like they're your next door neighbor and you're going to ask them to watch your kids every day of the week. I mean, it's a little bit different here.
Okay.
So we had quite a discussion about it, and I realized that a lot of very conscientious people may share that view, and maybe it's time to offer a slightly different view. But let's start out with, what do we know about angels?
Well, we know that you're not an angel. Okay, no, I'm kidding.
I'm not an angel. I'm not a priestess. I'm not a goddess.
Well, wait a minute. I kind of want you to be a priestess, though, because if you're a priestess, that means I'm a high priestess.
Is that because you're taller?
Yes. By the way, she's sitting on like this mound of pillows right now.
Well, I'm not a priestess because if I were a priestess, that would mean that
I'm a high priestess. I like that.
Or if I were a goddess, that my husband would be a god. And he's Superman, but Superman isn't a god.
Gosh, you're just ruining this.
I'm sorry. Reality is just such a bummer sometimes.
Well, what we do know about angels is they exist. The concept, the word for angel, exists throughout the history of this planet, regardless of religion, regardless of culture, regardless of era of time. We see representations of angels all over the place. So if they're not real, why is it that 500 BC Ireland and 1892 India and everywhere in between has a word or a concept for angel?
Angels are real. And angels are evolving. All beings and beings in the fifth dimension, which is where angels reside, are also in a process of evolution. Darwin was right. We're looking at this on a cosmic level. And on a cosmic level, angels evolve when they do service. You know, the concept we are really only here for service is really epitomized by an angel. They are here to provide service for all of us. So let's look at a little bit more about what we know about angels.
Well, as you said, they also evolve and they're earning karma. There's a hierarchy of angels, just like there are hierarchies of all kinds of bee colonies has a hierarchy, you know, meerkats, humans, we all have a hierarchy of jobs, services, etc. And angels are no different.
And there are all kinds of angels. There are angels of birth. There are angels of death. There are guardian angels, security angels,
archangels,
children angels. There are multiples of angels. I mean, you could go to a battlefield and request that teams of angels come in and escort all the battlefield dead to the heaven world. I mean, we actually have someone who uses the crossing over prayer for that purpose and enlists the service of angels.
He actually, it's kind of cool. He wrote in about a year or so ago and he takes the crossing over prayer. He's from Europe and he travels to all of these battlegrounds all over Europe and he says the crossing over prayer and he takes it with him. And he's clearing the dead of those battlefields, which is such a huge karmic service, spiritual service.
It is. There's a very important element here, and it involves angels and free will. I think this is a critical thing, because we're always talking about spiritual law. Spiritual law applies across the board to all beings in all realms and all dimensions. Say that fast.
Nope.
Angels must follow spiritual law, which means that they can only help you
if you ask.
If you ask, and they are clearly divinely inspired to do so. And if, for instance, if you don't ask and you're doing really terrible things, then you're probably not going to get an angel to step in. But there are very rare exceptions. And there are a couple other things. Angels cannot take over a human body. I know I hear this all the time. An angel walked in, but angels can't do that because it violates free will.
If an angel were to walk into my body, it violates my free will. And they are a spiritual being. They're not going to do that.
It also violates your opportunity for soul evolution. If you're not in your body experiencing human life, you're not evolving as a soul. No angel is ever going to take that away from you. You can always ask an angel for help. And we're going to be discussing in greater detail as we go farther along, just exactly how you can ask them to help you. And I think another important element is this concept of angel wings. I mean, we all hear people talk about, oh, angel wings, or you felt the angel wings. And the information we're about to share comes from Manly P. Hall, and they come from Edgar Cayce, and because Laura and I are always studying, rather than just believing, we want to understand other people's research, and we look at the information from multiple sources and look for continuity among those sources. And I thought the information about angels was particularly fascinating.
It is, because an angel is a higher level being, which means they vibrate at a very high frequency. And that light that's coming from them is called Vril. And this is the light that emanates and creates these angel wings that we are often associating with an angel. It's, bless you. I'm going to keep talking, okay?
Keep talking.
All right, that light energy is actually called the virilic force. So they don't necessarily have, you know, wings like a bird would have, but they have this energy that emanates out from them that looks like those wings.
And the reason people thought they were wings is they had no other ordinary way to describe it.
You're taking a concept and you're trying to, a supernatural concept, you're trying to create some logic between it. So you're going to use the vocabulary you have,
which would be wings. But if you think about it, since angels operate in the fifth dimension, and sometimes they have to operate in the fourth, especially if we're in the fourth and ask them for help, there's no gravity in either of those dimensions. So why would they need wings to lift them up to overcome gravity? This is the part about us that, you know, we're rooted in science to a remarkable degree. That's the logic trail. If you're in the fourth and fifth dimension, there's really no gravity. You don't need wings to overcome the force of gravity. And so you have what emanates from you, which is pure light. And it comes off as a vibration in waves. And I just thought that was really cool.
It's a really great description.
I'm so glad you approve.
You know, I tell you when I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Anyways, the concept of angel wings, you can look this up with some of the works from Manly P. Hall and Edgar Cayce. Now, can a human become an angel? We're going to kind of get started on this concept and we'll carry it in after the break in a little bit. But can a human being become an angel? And we hear this a lot. My so-and-so died and now they're an angel. And just the other week, last week, actually this weekend, somebody had mentioned to me that his wife had died and she's now an angel. And he knows she's an angel because things move around in his house. And he'd also said that whenever he would bring a female friend over to the house, things would start banging around and that she was angry. And I'm thinking, okay, first of all, do angels get angry?
And
not that, like this, okay?
Well, basically what he's saying is that this wife angel is jealous.
Yes.
He is describing the actions of a jealous person or soul.
Not an angel.
Not an angel. An angel doesn't have any kind of possessive energy toward a living person. So right. an angel can never become a human being. A human being can never become an angel. Each of them are evolving on different tracks. A bumblebee is never going to become a cheetah. I mean, a bumblebee might be a queen
Exactly.
And I don't know what bumblebees evolved to, or honeybees evolved to, but they're not going to become cheetahs, lions, elephants. And they're just different species.
They're different species. And this is the same thing with humans and angels. And I recommended that he help his wife cross over. And he just kept insisting that she was an angel. And, and I politely said, you may want to just try this, but really,
you just got really angry.
I was really frustrated. I was upset with, I felt bad for his wife who was a ghost, but it's not mine to change his mind. I would have loved to have crossed his wife over. I don't think she has crossed over, but there's nothing I can do about it because that is not my job to do unless I have permission. Otherwise, I'm violating spiritual law.
And that's certainly not something that any of us want to do. And we're about to head into a break. And we're going to talk about why human beings can't become angels a little bit more when we come back. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio.
And if you get a chance, check out theoillounge.com. They are full of amazing information on everything you ever wanted to know about essential oil. So check them out and we'll be back shortly.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path, and we're going to resume our discussion about why human beings cannot become angels. Human beings have a soul path. They have a karmic path, and it is to raise their frequency to higher and higher levels to learn about who they are and what they're here for. And the heaven world has many amazing beings, and angels are among them, and they have very specific jobs to do. But one of their jobs is not becoming a human being. That would be, and I don't mean to sound insulting, but it would be kind of a demotion. So an angel can't take on a human form to give you, you can have some, and there are some amazing miracle stories. They're unusual. That's why they are miracles, and miracles absolutely exist. But in the day-to-day world, human beings can't become angels. And I hear a lot of parents who have a child die and say, you know, I just know that my child became an angel. And it's
a form of really heavy grief, and we understand.
And it's a way for that parent to
process
their grief. And our heart really goes out to that parent. The kindest thing the parent can do would be to cross their child over and invite angels to escort that child to the heaven world. A child's going to receive love and healing and this fabulous, glorious light from the angels that embraces them. Having seen this many thousands of times, it's really, really helpful. It's also important to understand that child did not become an angel once death took their body away.
And the truth is we spend more time outside of this mortal physical body than we do in one, because we're all spiritual beings, all of us.
And the human experience is very important. And if you're an angel, you're always an angel. You're never going to not be an angel. You're not going to be something else.
Right. All right. So let's talk a little bit about asking angels for help. Or am I jumping the gun?
I think you're jumping again.
I knew she's going to say that.
Because we had another person talk to us about how they're very abusive mother became a master angel.
And she channels her master, her very abusive mother in life dies. And all of a sudden, this person who's grieving her mom, even though she was abusive, is saying her mother is a master angel and now offers guidance and stuff from her master angel mom. If you're abusive personality in life, you're still an abusive personality in death until you can be crossed over into the heaven world. We're very passionate about making sure that all souls cross over for a variety of reasons.
If that issue of your personality does not change once you have left your mortal body is an enormous concept. Your personality is the same. If you were abusive in life, you're still abusive in death.
You're a jerk in life, you're a jerk in death.
That's just the bottom line.
So,
and this issue of the word master, it's something we hear a lot. So-and-so is a master fill in the blank. There aren't master angels. There are angels there, and they have very specific titles, but master isn't among
Jesus
them.
Jesus was a master.
It was the master Jesus. Yeah. Jesus wasn't an angel. Jesus was a different being, a tremendous, right. tremendous being, but Jesus wasn't an angel. That's not insulting or in any way meant to be disparaging.
Right. But it's that's an example of a master.
That's an example of a true master who walked the earth. The only other person I can think of on earth who might be considered a master would be the Dalai Lama, whose light and love and service to humanity transcends all faiths and religions. And he emanates this beautiful presence. But the Dalai Lama is a mortal person. He's not an angel. Okay. So now that we've talked about that, whoever this woman is actually hearing, I have no idea, but she's not a master angel. So I wanted to kind of clear that up. So now that the question is, can you ask an angel for help? Is it imposing?
It's not imposing. First of all, they earn experience for helping. They earn karma for helping, but they have to be asked. And Tina and I are always, I don't know if there's a day that doesn't go by where we're not requesting angelic help. If we're working in this regular mortal life, or if we're working in the other realms, we're always requesting angels for help. They're here for service, and we're giving them an opportunity for service every time we ask them for help. And no matter what your situation is in life, if you're struggling with something, you can pray and ask for angelic help. Now, prayers are answered in karmic time, meaning it's not like they just turn on the switch and they can be answered in this moment. Sometimes we need a difficult experience so we can learn and grow. And I'm going to give you one example of a story that I will probably never forget. That is our middle daughter. My husband and I have three daughters. And by the way, he keeps texting me. He needs a new iPhone. Does he not know what we're doing? So anyways, yes, honey, we'll get the iPhone after this. Okay. Our middle daughter, we live in San Diego and we're maybe 15 minutes from the beach, and our middle daughter gets her driver's license and she wants to go surfing, and she's so excited. She ended up having a concussion. She fell off the top of a cheer squad and spent a year long concussion. So she couldn't get her driver's license. So she was like 17 and a half when she got her driver's license, because she couldn't get it. She finally gets it and she has a car. So we bought her a car, which she pays for, by the way.
Good job.
Yeah. Thank you. And she wants to go that first Saturday that she has her driver's license. She wants to go to take her surfboard and go to the beach and go surfing. Or, you know, the early morning surf. And I said, you know, originally, like, absolutely, sounds great. And as the night before, I saw in my mind's eye her having this horrible accident. And all I could think of was, she can't go. I can't let her go because she's going to have an accident. Okay. Now, my kids.
So you're having a premonition.
I'm having a premonition. And my kids have this weird mom. And my husband has a weird wife. I didn't start out that way. Just let you know.
Yeah, it didn't get really bad till you met me, huh?
Right. And I'm, you know, explaining to my daughter, I said, you know, I don't think this is a good idea. Now she's crying and upset. And my husband's like, oh, you're being overprotective. And I'm like, no, I really feel that, you know, something's going to happen. And my other two daughters are chiming in, and we are just almost, World War III is almost about ready to cut loose, but I didn't want her to go. And I thought, okay, if I don't let her go, it's going to be an issue for a really long time in our house. If I do let her go, she could have an accident.
What an untenable situation.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, but it's really tough.
This is what life is. And so that night I prayed hard and I asked for my daughter's car to be filled with angels to travel with her. I call them travel angels.
That's a great term.
Parents out there, if you have teenage drivers, because your kids are under 18, you can request angels be with them. Once you're over 18, you got a spiritual law stuff going on. But So I packed her car with angels and I prayed hard and I said, okay, she's off. She left at like 5:40 in the morning. I'm like, leave early. You know, she's going to be on the freeway. The 5 freeway in San Diego is pretty brutal, but she's on there for one exit until she gets off. So she maybe a mile at the most, she's on this freeway and it's, you know, Saturday morning at like 6 a.m. And at 6:05, we get a phone call. And it's my daughter. And she's like, I was in a car accident and she's shaking. And I'm like, I think we got there in like 3.5 minutes. We get there. Her friend that was with her was in front of her in a separate car because in California, new drivers can't have passengers with them unless they're parents or over 25. And we get there and they're telling me the story and the CHP, California Highway Patrol's there. And the back left bumper is like just buckled in. And what had happened was she got on the freeway, she moved over one lane and she's driving down there and this guy clips her. And he clips the back corner and he's got a bigger, I think he had a big black sedan SUV kind of thing. And he clips her. And she said, Mom, it was the weirdest thing. She said, it was like my car just floated. And I stopped parallel to the car, to the road. I stopped parallel to the road. She said, I don't even know how I stopped the car. She said, I wasn't driving the car. And I was like, wow. Now, the next thing that happens is the CHP officer looks at her car and he says, what lane were you in? And he says, this is weird. She should have spun out and she probably could have rolled over based on the point of impact here. And it just told me that my angels were working for me that day. And it turns out that this guy was a drunk driver. And that was a whole nother story. So this is how angels can work. So parents, if you have teenagers, every time they get in the car, request that you just pack that car filled to the brim with travel angels to keep them safe. It really does work.
It happened to me on California freeways. Yeah. are rough.
Yeah. And she ended up with, I think, $9,000 with the car damage, but she was okay.
Not a scratch.
She had, you know, a bruised arm, but that was it. And that was absolutely amazing. If, you know, I believed in angels before, but I really believed in them then. And, you know, to this day, I'm always packing my family's car full of angels to have them make wise decisions, to have them in a sort of a bubble where they can, you know, in a karmically correct manner, impact other drivers to keep my family safe. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah.
All right. You know what?
We're going to be right back.
You are listening to the Karmic Path Radio Show on Transformation Talk Radio, and check out the Oil Lounge. By the way, they're going to be joining us in March, at the end of March, and they're going to be doing some giveaways on essential oils. We'll be right back.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by 3 remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo. Live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, we're talking about angels and how if you're a parent, use them all the time, let me tell you.
I certainly used angels when my kids were driving, and I still use angels for my kids to this day. But let's take a minute and look at the example of why did this work for Laura with these angels? First of all, Laura did not ask the angels to interfere with her daughter's free will. She didn't, that wasn't her intention. She simply packed the car with angels. That was her request. And that it was for the highest and best good, but not to violate her daughter's free will or anybody else's free will for that matter.
I cannot say I am requesting angels to convince Tina to go to my church. And that doesn't work.
Yes, because that's a gross violation of free will, and it's a form of prayer, and it's a form of black prayer because you're interfering with someone's free will. Let me give you another example. I have kids all over the place. Not that I littered them.
I only know of three people.
I have family in many places, so I'm always flying somewhere, and I always try to bring a lot of light into the plane, and I always ask that angels fill the plane. And I ask that the plane be cleaned of any negativity or anger, or there'd be a peaceful, boring, non-turbulent flight. And I can do that because I paid for the seat and I have the right to have a safety. I'm not impacting the free will of anyone else on the plane. And I've had three occasions where we're actually rolling down the tarmac, and all of a sudden, and I am really just praying for angels to fill the plane, and I'm being very focused. They stopped the plane, turned around and went back, took everybody off the plane and said there was a mechanical problem.
Oops.
That happened twice. And another one was delayed while they repaired a problem. I was in Ireland and waiting for the plane. That was a really bad flight. We actually made it from England to Ireland that night. And I brought in a lot of angels, but we had to actually change the plane because it's like I could hear somebody saying, we're not going anywhere in this plane. Mm-hmm. So you can absolutely do that on an airplane, but you're not changing or influencing another person. And my son made a trip to Europe with the band when he graduated from high school. And he is in the Alps and it's pouring rain and it's windy and it's a little bit scary as they're going around the curves. And he's with this other teenager, a young woman, and she says, you know, you have these big angels all around you. I can see them. They're enormous. He did not miss a beat. He says, yeah, it must have been my mom sent them.
Right. Yeah. And you know what else, parents? If you have a child who has difficulty sleeping at night, pack their room full of angels. Have them calm the energy, and it works amazing.
I had a husband who spent 42 years going to sea in all kinds of vessels, including an oil rig, submarines, surface ships, oil rigs. It was amazing. Men can drive anything. And I always, once he was the captain of the vessel or was on board, because he wasn't always captain of a submarine, I would actually fill that vessel with angels and make sure and fill the vessel with angels and the equipment, and so that everything would be at a high frequency. That which is at a higher frequency, this is, goes back to physics. If things are at a higher frequency, the probability they're going to break down is a lot lower. So you look at the science behind the use and the benefit of connecting to angels, it makes a big difference. It also does something for you. If you're always connecting to the divine and you're asking for help, and I filled my own car with angels. When I get on the 5 freeway to go visit somebody, I pack my own car with angels. I am not even shy about it, so that I am safe in my car, and that if I'm safe in my car, the probability that people around me are safe as well is a really positive thing to look at.
All right, let's switch the subject slightly and let's talk about angels and death. Okay. So, and this, I'm going to talk about animals first. We had, for years, we had this cat who was basically our psychic alarm. We had so much interference going on, which we've discussed in previous episodes, of ghosts and all these beings that were just, it was stuff that horror movies are made out of. And we had this cat in particular who really went to bat for us. Every time there was something nefarious in our house that I couldn't see at the time, she would be kind of the sounding alarm. And she ended up living to be 22 years old.
That's astounding.
Yes. And I knew she was going to be dying soon. And so because I knew that, I requested that angels of transition, which is what we call them, you might have a different name, but death angels or angels of transition, would be by her side 24/7 until she left her physical little cat body. And they were instructed to cross her over right now, because we never want our pets to linger as ghosts. No matter how much we love them, it's not good for their soul evolution to leave them stuck between dimensions.
In the Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief, in the back of the book, there are prayers. And one of them is the prayer for crossing over your animal.
And it's also on ghosthelpers.com, which is another site we have, ghosthelpers.com.
And we have it as a YouTube video. And my neighbor's golden retriever, that dog did a lot of service for that family. It's a remarkably wonderful dog. But everybody's dog, when you love your dog, is a remarkably wonderful dog, or horse, or pot-bellied pig, or pheasant.
Whatever.
Whatever it happens to
be. Well, my dad had a pet peacock. So it just showed up in his yard one day and claimed my dad.
All right. Whatever that is, the family used the prayer and said that it gave them this enormous sense of peace, because they felt that they had done something for the animal, even in death. And one of the great things about crossing over a human being or an animal is the feeling that you're not helpless, that you can do something in death for them that is beautiful and glorious and loving. So that's one of the biggest ways you can use an angel, and you can ask the angel to lift them up and hold them. Imagine that image. Imagine it.
Great image. I've seen it before. It also applies to humans, by the way. We're not limiting angelic support to animals, but if you have a loved one who is dying or crossing over, you can also request with their permission that they have angels in their room, and especially in hospital rooms, because they can be full of ghosts and beings that you want to make sure that your loved one is crossed over. Just request that, you know, an angel of transition be with your loved one.
And after that person has died, you don't need their permission. You can ask that an angel of transition assist them to cross over into the heaven
and
world.
Say right now.
Say right now, because there's no time in that dimension. So you kind of need to be specific. All right. Now what we want to do is shift direction just a little bit.
When did your chair get so squeaky?
It's not my chair that's squeaky.
That's my chair?
It's your chair.
Okay. They're
very old chairs.
When did my chair get so squeaky?
We want to talk about, how do you know it's an angel? And a lot of people confuse their higher self with an angel. We have a conscious, a subconscious, and a superconscious. And this, the subconscious is the gatekeeper to higher self. And your higher self is that divine connection. But if your subconscious is very shut down and is afraid or was abused, that connection to higher self can be very difficult. And when you ask for an angel to assist you because you're having trouble with the connection, you connect to the divine in a, it's like rerouting. Let's say you've got a blockage here. You simply go around the blockage and enable yourself to have that divine connection. And that's a very, very important one. And it may enable you to connect to higher self. So when you're connecting to your higher self and an angel, now you're beginning to build, this is a great concept, mm-hmm. a spiritual team for yourself. Not, you don't have to channel anybody else. You only need the goodness that is inside of you, that is your higher self. And when you're connecting to angels and you're always bringing them in, and from a purely service viewpoint, you've raised your frequency, and it's a very powerful thing to do. And I think that that's an important thing. Now, let's talk about guardian angels, because I think that's a huge one. All right,
well, we only have 2 minutes before we go to break, so let's get started with guardian angels.
All right. A lot of times...
angels and the use of angels is somewhat earned. As Tina was talking about, connecting to the divine and requesting for that angelic support builds your spiritual team.
Also builds your spiritual frequency.
And your spiritual frequency. Not everybody has a guardian angel. And
how do we know this?
How do we know this?
Okay. How do we know this?
If a serial killer had a guardian angel, surely that guardian angel would do something to avert some that type of action.
But serial killers don't have guardian angels. You have to earn it.
Yes.
And someone who is drinking heavily or who's heavily on drugs, they don't have a guardian angel either.
Yeah. And so guardian angels are earned. I'm sorry. They're earned. And if we don't have one, we can work towards earning these guardian angels. You can go away. Take this off. Sorry. Okay. So angels are assigned based on that person's frequency, their level of spirituality. And when I say that, I don't mean that somebody is better or worse or higher or lower than somebody else. It's based on need, it's based on frequency, and that person's karma to have something like this. And so we're always striving. There's so many good people out there. We're always striving to better ourselves, to improve those around us. And that's why, you know, Tina and I do the show, The Karmic Path, because karma echoes out all the time. Karma is an action and reaction. And the action of asking for an angel, asking for their help, means that, as Tina mentioned before, we're connecting to the divine and it's raising our frequency and we're able to raise ourselves to higher and higher levels. And the more fervent we are with our prayers and desire for service, the more we can attract angels. And angels, this is the best part. Angels do incur karma when they help us. So by asking for angels, if you're a parent or if you have, you know, working with kids that you're in charge of or whatever your situation is, animals, if your animal is sick and at the vet, request an angel to be with your pet to comfort them. Request that your kids are surrounded with angels. If they're having a difficult time in school, ask that they help. You can't ask an angel, hey, help my kid to do well on the test. They can't do that, but they can be supportive of your child. And they earn the karma for helping you. And it helps with their soul evolution too, because we're always evolving. And we will be right back. You are listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you have questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side? Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Welcome back to the Karmic Path Radio Show. Look who I brought back.
All better now.
I asked for some angels to help her out, and look, poof, she showed up again. We had a question from somebody listening about Black prayer, and let's talk about Black prayer for a few minutes, but we are going to be doing a show on prayer down the road because prayer is such an important part of our spiritual paths.
A lot of times you may have... How do I want to put this? Many of us grew up where there may have been a part of our lives where our religious upbringing was abusive. I'll just be blunt.
Be blunt.
Okay.
Because you never are.
I never are. If you have that happen to you, and it's not unusual, and the prayers that you were taught or the things that you associated with prayer are really negative and really dark and abusive or hurtful or made you feel chronically guilty.
Or prayer where you're wishing somebody ill will or you're wishing they would do something that they don't want to do.
The classic example of Black prayer from a childhood perspective is the parent claims that the child is, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you need to go pray that God will save you because God couldn't possibly want you. That conversation creates a blackness around the concept of prayer. That's one element of it. The second element of it was something my well-intentioned mother-in-law did. She would routinely tell us that she was praying with all of her heart that we would wake up and realize that we should join her Baptist church. And I was happy that her Baptist church was wonderful for her. It gave her a lot of companionship and a lot of solace. And it was a very social and she had a lot of friends and it was wonderful for her. It worked really well for her. And I was happy for her, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to work for me. I don't have that frame of reference.
Yeah, and those are examples of a form of Black prayer.
She wanted something for me. I didn't want for myself. That's part of Black prayer. If you're praying that someone will change their personality to line up with what you think they should be doing, saying, thinking, behaving, that should be their career, which is a controlling element. It's about control. And you're using the power of prayer to control another person. That's called Black prayer because it's negative. And it's a form of black magic because you're using the power of thought. All thought is energy. Let's go back to science. You are projecting your thought to another person to influence them. And we know because they have prayer circles and hospitals and in a variety of churches, and the power of prayer can be miraculous and wonderful if the person agreed to it. And another example is the woman who was in a hospital and she had breast cancer and she was dying. And I was asked to come in and give her healing. And I said, did she approve that? Does she want me to do that? And they said, it doesn't matter what she wants.
Right.
We want you to come in and do that. And I said,
it does matter.
I need you to ask her. And she declined. And I
said,
she was ready to go.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. It wasn't up to me to judge the woman. However, what happened was this other woman brought in two healers and they ignored the pleas of the person who was dying and they gave her all of this healing, which actually prolonged her suffering. And she was very, very angry at death. And you have to be mindful. You cannot want something for someone they do not want for themselves. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's a very, very important record.
And that, you know, where the show is on angels, but also this is really important. This is a really important concept.
And if you can look at it from the point of view that if you're asking for angels, especially for your teenagers, that's one thing. My husband gave me full permission to always fill any vessel he was on with angels because he was on board, especially if he was the captain. And he had the weirdest situation many a time. People would want to be on his ship because it was so safe.
He had a good track record.
He had a good, real, and somebody actually wanted to jump ship so they could be on his safe ship. He's right. One, he's a really good captain. Well, he had a little help from his friend.
Right, exactly. You know, it works. And, you know, angels are really good to bring in on those days that we're feeling really sad or really super alone. If we're depressed, ask the angels come in to help you. You may or may not feel them because that depression makes it difficult, but it will help you if you keep up that practice.
So let's just give some examples of places where you could ask an angel to be. If, let's say there's been an argument, fill your home with angels, and you might find that the argument stops and people feel better, but they don't know why. You can fill your car. Let's say you're in an office meeting and it's getting really, 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 really angry. Ask that angels fill the room, not change people's mind, right? Interfere with free will.
Angels are a really good tool for a hostile work environment.
That's a great tool.
And you can, one of the things that Tina and I will do often is we will request a trio of archangels, one to be in front of us and one at each shoulder. So as we're going through a potentially toxic situation, we have these angels with us and we have instructed them to cross over any ghosts that come at us or anything else that may not be for our greater good.
Think of the karmic ripple effect of that action. You're doing a positive action, but you're not violating free will. And that's something that's truly beautiful. And if you ask someone, do you mind if I send you angels? You ask their permission, then
if they say yes, great. If they say no, it's
then step
okay.
Back.
That's okay.
They don't violate someone else's spiritual path. Be respectful. And that also creates karma. I asked someone recently, do you mind if I do this? Do you have your permission and or your husband's permission? And the answer was no. I said, then we are stepping aside. And no is still an okay answer. It's an answer that doesn't deserve judgment. So when someone is grieving, you can send angels to surround them. You can put angels in your child's bedroom at night or with your animals if you have to be alone, or you put your animal in a kennel. Put something there for them. And when you're doing that, you're changing the environment in a positive way. You're filling it with light. It's the kindest, gentlest, most powerful thing, among the most powerful things you can do.
And one of the things that you want to do also that's really helpful to raise your frequency, and we use essential oils a lot at night while we're entering the sleep state because it raises our frequency and it helps us connect to those divine beings. Frankincense, white angelica, you just put a drop or two on your hands, your feet, and it really helps to kind of raise that frequency a bit.
I use white angelica on my third eye right in here. And I have a whole conglomeration of oils that I put on my feet at night, which really, your feet are the template of the entire body. It's a kind and gentle thing to do. And I mean, little kids dearly love it when you put oils on their feet and it boosts their immune system pretty heavily. We want to end this with someone asked us a question about who's in the heaven world. So I'm going to read this and I don't have it memorized. Human beings in their limited understanding of the universe can barely perceive of themselves, angels and Jesus, and a couple of saints thrown in maybe. However, the truth is far more astounding. Humans, angels, midwayers, all kinds of beings, bright and evening stars, mighty messengers, ancients of days. There are only seven in the universe, and they are talked about in the Bible. Planetary princes and their lieutenants, the Great White Brotherhood, and the core of the final lighters are barely a few of the astounding breadth and aspect of the beings that inhabit the heaven world. This list does not include the amazing beings who inhabit other planets, much less those beings who inhabit the lower astral. What a cast of ghastly characters are found down there. While this does not answer your question, look at it this way. How many different species are there of creatures past and present on this planet? Well, there are thousands more types of being species who have mindful, soulful intelligence in the other realms. While I realize that this may not have made the waters of your understanding any less muddy, I may have helped you to understand the nature of the turbidity. And so let us end with our karmic concepts. Science, the power of angels is a form of energy, the psychology of feeling that you are powerful when you use them, and spiritually you are not imposing on your angels. So we want to thank
them as much as you can. And we want to thank the Oil Lounge for sponsoring the show. Please go check them out at theoillounge.com. You've been listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio.
And check out our app, The Karmic Path app. It's free.
Oh, yeah. We have an app, too. So you can download it on your phone. You can listen to us all the time. My husband loves that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. A special thanks to our producer, Kat Grebe,
yes,
who we can't
you,
do this without her. And so be sure to check out our books and courses on thekarmicpath.com. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with The Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.